Well, I'm just so excited about the Lord this morning because I know that, you know, what he does with us, he does from the inside out, doesn't he? What he starts in us starts on the inside and works its way out. And that's something that we can always, I guess you could say, have a fresh insight on, because so much of what the Lord wants in our lives is going to emanate from already what's within us, what he's already done in our lives. And so we're sort of on that topic a little bit, and I think to a certain extent getting a better understanding of how that works. And there are some that will actually see that God's this sort of being that's far off, but in actual fact in Christianity he comes and dwells in the midst of us. He comes and makes his home in our hearts. And the minute we start getting sensitive to that, there's a change and a shift in the way that we approach even, you know, our thoughts about the kingdom of heaven. And so very important for us to get that truth, I guess you could say, into our thinking, so that we align ourselves so much better with him. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time around your word, Lord. We ask that you lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord God, that you show us things to come today, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, even as we pray and as we come around your word, Lord God, that each heart would be opened up even more, Lord God. Lord, that the entrance of your word would bring light, Lord God, encouragement, Father God. Lord, that your word indeed would be like us today, Lord God, a lamp unto our feet, showing us where we are, and a guide unto our path, showing us where we can go. Lord, we thank you for our new pathways, Lord God, that are brought about by fresh insight and revelation today, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Well, as you know, last week we're looking at the nature of our creation. We're created beings. Humankind is a created nature. And if you remember rightly, we had seen the phrase that helps identify that nature and, of course, our spiritual nature. And, of course, we saw that very much relates to the fact that we are a spirit. And, you know, we made the phrase, or the phrase that's taught, that says, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and, of course, I live in a body. You know, it's that realization that there is a natural side to us, but there's also very much a spiritual side to us. That spiritual side to us is eternal in nature. You can go back to the podcast from last week, if you like, on the website, and you'll see the scriptural pattern for our nature as being tripart. You know, we are tripart beings over there in 1 Thessalonians. But if it's that we are eternal in nature, is a thing that we need to understand. We came out of our mother's womb that way. We were that way even in our mother's womb. We were spirits, physical, but with a spirit, eternal nature. You're going to live forever. Isn't that an exciting concept? You're going to live forever. Eternal life was yours even before you came and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'll say that again, just in case there's a few people that are still working on that one. You had eternal life even before you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. Okay? And here's the thing that we get to understand is that receiving Jesus, coming into covenant with him and making him Lord and Saviour, just changes the destination of where we spend eternal life. All right? That's important to understand, because, you know, we come across people out there in the street and in the marketplace and people we work with, and we don't want to sort of see them as being not spiritual. They are spiritual. And not only that, but they are eternal beings. They're going to live forever as well. And our job, just get it right, our job is to make sure they spend it in the right destination. That's our call. That's our, you know, the Great Commission is right there, is to help people come to that place. So important. Receiving Jesus changed the destination of where we spend eternal life. You know, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus found out that the spirit of man was where the new birth occurred. He found out that by having a discussion in the night with Jesus. You know, when I first got saved, I felt or discerned that something had happened on the inside of me. You see, it was my spirit that was saved, made whole, regenerated. It was my spirit man that got saved. But my body remained the same. and yours did as well. My soul remained the same, and that's the same for you as well. Your spirit gets saved, but, and again, you know, we see the difference is that when we get born again, something happens on the inside of us. My mind still had stinking thinking. And everybody that still has a bit of stinking thinking said amen. You know? In other words, your thought life hasn't caught up with the newness that's on the inside of you. But that's the quest. That's the job. That's where we should move to. You know, in that first moment of being saved, I discerned that something had happened on the inside of me, and I felt that and was aware of that even on the very first moment after I'd said that prayer, believed in my heart, confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I felt something different. Amen? Diane's sitting there going, yes, amen. Amen. I know. Just only a short while ago, said that same prayer, and something happened, didn't it, Diane? We must get you down to share about that sometime, you know, because it's just so recent. But you know, the thing is, the job now, once we're saved, is to do something about that. Where do we go from here? What do we do next? And that's why we spend the required time renewing our minds to the Word of God. And the reason we do is because that aligns us with God's will and purpose for our lives. Sometimes to get the depth of what God's doing in our lives, we have to go basic. We have to go back to the basics sometimes. Isn't that true? Sometimes just to sort of and understand what it was that he did in our lives. You know, John chapter 3 and verse 1 to 3 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. You know, he's recognized something about Jesus that we've also recognized. And Jesus answered and said to him, and I don't imagine that Jesus spent a lot of time sort of, so tell me about yourself. You know, he knew some things. And so he just really cut to the mustard here and said, well, and Jesus said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's that realization. You know, it's the only way into the kingdom of God, a spiritual rebirth. But the first action required once we're born again is deny that old man, that old person that's still got old habits and old ways, deny that because it's still there, and to spend quality time in the Word of God, reading the Gospels, the words of Jesus, you know, reading the New Testament and then the whole book. Because ultimately our design is to become more like him. Amen? More like the author of the book. We're to become more and more like him. 1 Peter chapter 2, great verse, verse 1 to 3. It says, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious. And that point that we actually start to commit ourselves to that renewing of the mind is because we've felt something. We sensed something. Something changed. Something new happened on the inside of us. And it's, well, what do I do now to cooperate with that? What do I do now to start getting more of that and desiring more of that? What do I do? Desire the sincere milk of the word. As it says, as what? Newborn babes. We're just new babes when we come to Christ, and we now need to start drinking the milk so we can grow. And it's so important. If we've tasted the Lord is gracious, that's the action that we should take. But notice the first thing is we've got to lay some things aside. That laying aside sometimes takes a long time, doesn't it? You know, laying aside some of those actions and deeds and habits and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking. Watch your mouth. You know, 1 Peter 3:8. I remember this because our Bible teacher made us memorize it for a week. 1 Peter 3:8. He that will see good days, he that will love life and see good days, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak well. In other words, don't let rubbish come out of your mouth. Get rid of evil speaking. When it's from an evil place, God's not pleased, and it's just words that are going to hurt. Going to hurt you. idle words, you know, corrupt communication. Anyone know what I'm talking about? We won't go into what type of words, but let's get rid of those. You know, let's get that out of our mouths, because it's not coming from the right spirit, when we allow that. John chapter 3, and we'll just read on there. It says in verse 4, it says, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." In other words, it doesn't. You pray for someone to be saved, you can't see the Spirit of God move in and do a regenerative work in their spirit. But I tell you what, you can see evidence of it. It's just like when the wind blows. It's like change and things shift and, you know what's happening, but you can't kind of physically see it, but you know it's happening. That's just like the Spirit of God working in our lives. It's like a wind. You know, in verse 5, Jesus speaks of two births. We must see that. In verse 6, Jesus explains the two births. Let's look at it. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And of course, you know, we understand that the first birth that he's talking about is from the mother's womb. That's the first birth. What happens when babies are born? I've been there with Rosemary and our first child, and also with our second child. I know what happens. The waters break. That's the first sign. The waters break. That's the speaking of that first birth. The first birth from the mother's womb is when the waters break, and of course the baby comes down and of course comes into life. Jesus is not talking about water baptism here. Okay, he does talk about water baptism, but not here. We believe in water baptism, but it's not what is being explained here. It's our birth into the natural life, and then he talks about a second birth, which is a birth into the spiritual life. Amen? Being born again is a regeneration of the Spirit, and we understand that. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 6, what does it say there? It says, But when the kindness and the love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Notice that the new birth, being born again, is a work of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not a work of the pastor or someone in leadership or any of those things. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. We mustn't forget that. You know, in all of our kingdom building activities, we're working with the Holy Spirit. Our job is not to get more people coming to church. Our job is to get people born again. Get them into that regenerated spirit, because that's eternal life in heaven. That's occurred, that regeneration. You know, and I just say this, the Holy Spirit's job in the earth is to convict the sinner of unbelief in Jesus Christ. That's, if you want to know what's the Holy Spirit doing today, he's convicting the sinner of unbelief in Jesus Christ. That's what he does. And you come along as a regenerated person, someone born again of the Spirit, and speak words of life to them, and they go home, guess who goes with them? The Holy Spirit does. He goes with them, and he goes and starts to, you know, minister to them, work on them, all the while bringing them to the place of conviction about not believing on Jesus Christ. Just tell you a little secret. Probably within 2 to 3 weeks of getting saved, I used swear words, expletives. I know you find that hard to believe, but I did. And actually, one of the swear words I used the name of Jesus. You know, it was like a blankety blank blank Jesus. You know, and another one that I was using was, the shortest verse in the Bible, which was Jesus wept. And I would say, Jesus, and then I'd blankety blank blank wept. And I picked it up from my farming cousin, I'm quite sure. You know, it was one of his swear words. And I started, and I was using it just before I got saved. I'm talking 2-3 weeks before I got saved. Just letting you know. And not teaching you any new tricks, all right? I'm just sort of saying that's what I was doing. And what happened, I was already under conviction. I was already starting to feel bad about using the name of Jesus. Now, I still try and look back and try and think, who was it that was praying for me? Who was it that come across my pathway that was actually trying to share the gospel with me? Who was it, because they'd got the Holy Ghost onto me. And the Holy Spirit was bringing conviction to me about what I was doing, how I was living, you know. That spiritual world is very real. You know, you have to, when you're sharing with someone, you have to pray for them as well, because the enemy's out there as well. You know, I had every opportunity not to get baptized that Sunday. On the Friday night, pub brawl going on, I'm talking going on right around me. People having the barmaid had to call the police because there was fights breaking out over here, fights breaking over there. And me and my mate are sitting there with our beer, you know, sort of trying to stay out of it. I'm going, I'm staying out of this. And I knew the people too, you know, I could have quite easily have gotten involved. 21 years old. And a mate had invited me to come and get baptized. Try it out, he said. And I said, well, the worst thing that can happen is I could get wet. You know, and I thought, I'll just try that and see. Saturday night, they invited me out to a fancy dress party, the church. It was the boringest party I'd ever been to in my life. I'll be honest with you, these Christian people were so boring to me, you know, and I'm sitting there going, wishing I was somewhere else. But I was in God's hand, and God was working on me to get me where he wanted me to be. Amen? God was at work. You know, the Holy Spirit was there, and the enemy was at work as well. You know, and I came home that night early. I never came home early on a Saturday night. I did that night, came home early from the fancy dress party. And my sister said, oh, a couple of girls came over to pick you up. And I went, really? Who? And she described them, and I went, oh, what? And I wasn't here. You know, they came to, you know, we were going to go out or something. You know, they were out to invite me out. But I know if I'd have been home, I wouldn't have been at church the next morning. I assure you, you know. And those girls never came to pick me up. So just best thing to say, they never came over to visited my house to, oh, let's go over and get Peter and pick him up and take him out. They never did that. So, you know, the enemy was at work trying to get me out of that appointment with the baptism tank. You know, and that prayer that I prayed, you know, when I prayed that prayer and invited Jesus to come into my life, you know, the enemy tries to stop us coming to that place of new life in Christ Jesus. And we need to pray for those that we're witnessing to. Don't just witness to them, pray for them afterwards, because something's happening. The Holy Spirit's happening, you know. And he wants to see people saved. The Holy Spirit is the agent of God in the earth that comes alongside us and initiates and brings his plans and his purposes and divine change in the lives of those that are being saved. Remember, unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, what? Labor in vain. Unless the Lord build the house. So, you know, it's down tools. You know, and all of our clever ways and things that we'd like to do and the way we think it should be done, down tools and start saying, Lord, how do you want to do it? And let him use you to witness and minister to others and see what he does with that. Learning to be sensitive in our spirit to the Holy Spirit is how we begin to do our best work in the kingdom of God. And it's not outworked through our religious mindset. You know, our loyalty to our local church, it's not worked out that way. It's through our daily relationship with him. It's outworked through our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So let's consider the sensitivity of our spirit to spiritual things, the things of God, what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. Let's consider that a little bit today in the time that we've got remaining. Let's just go to the Christmas story. We know that Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary as the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, right? You remember last Christmas? I think we touched in on that. I didn't bring that verse up, but in verse 1 there in 39, it says, "Now Mary arose in these days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah," verse 40. "And Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary," and it says that Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Unborn babies may not be able to speak or prophesy, but they can discern spiritually the power of God. Amen? Because as we see here, Mary walks into the home of the relative Elizabeth, John the Baptist, as an unborn baby in Liz's womb, okay, and leaps in the womb at Mary coming in. How about that? Luke chapter 1 and verse 42, it says, "And then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord.'" And what do we say? We say that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We start to testify of Jesus. There's a prophetic utterance that starts to come as well. John the Baptist has his first experience of spiritual discernment in his mum's womb. There you go. He has his first moment of discerning something spiritual, and he's still in his mum's womb. How amazing is that? And, of course, the spiritual sensitivity we have as a capacity of our spirit, and its capacity, wherever it is, can be developed from where it is. If you've not given it any attention for years and years and years, you can start to develop it afresh again today. You can make a fresh commitment today to develop your spiritual sensitivity and see it increased. You know, and that's so important for the big decisions in life, or even the little decisions. You know, because you may analyze them from intellect and reasoning and known wisdom. You can do all that. You know, the natural man is not entirely stupid, you know. We've seen some things and we learn and we grow and we understand. But the pathways of life should also be discerned from the Lord's leading in our spirit. And we can. We can know that leading in our spirit. And just get it. No, don't feel to do that. Yep, feel to do this. All those insights where the Lord actually gives you a solution to a problem. We can have that spiritual discernment operating in our lives frequently and not once a year. Or, gee, that happened in 1970, you know, and have to think back to those moments when you sort of had some type of insight. You can have it today. And, you know, I like particularly this last passage of scripture, I believe it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16, it says, the natural man, this is the Apostle Paul telling the Corinthian church something along these lines that we've been talking about today. The natural man does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. There are some people that are so natural that even being born again, they still just, those spiritual things just don't penetrate. You know, it's like the Lord comes knocking, but there's still nobody home. You know, the lights are on, but still there's nobody home. It says, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. Because they are what? Spiritually discerned. And the spiritual man judges all things, but he himself is not subject to anyone's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have that, you know, that insight, that capacity to know from him. And so, you know, in all of our reasoning and all of our wisdom, we have to make sure that we start to recognize the discernment of the Lord. We start to know some things by the Spirit of God in our spirit, leading us and guiding us. And it is such an advantage in life. I always say that, you know, why wouldn't you want to know about things before they happen? Why wouldn't you want to press in for that? Why wouldn't you want to have a sense of a, you know, God's leading for your pathway. Why would you find some other reason to not pursue that? I don't understand. But, you know, it's there for the asking, I believe, for us to become more spiritually discerning and press in for that. And we're going to talk in this series about, our series is actually being spiritual, that we're actually in. And we're going to spend a little bit more time talking on this and things that we can do to just increase that capacity in our lives. Because it's not all, well, whatever will be, you know. It's not that. It's not fatalism that we're called to. We're called to walk with a living God who knows the end from the beginning. And our job is to walk closer and closer with him in and have that heart-to-heart relationship with him where we can know some things before they happen. You know, where you just a couple of weeks ago, I was heading down to Perth and I just went, no. I just, every time I thought about going to Perth, I just got a nut. Don't go. Don't go. Just, you know, real, and had the ticket ready to fly and rang up and said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go down. Not coming down. Just cancelled the whole thing. Later that week, they closed the Peel region and the Perth region, and I wouldn't have been able to come home. Wouldn't have let me come home. And I think at the time I thought they would have even had to find at short notice someone else to take the message because I wouldn't have been here for the Sunday service. So God's good, isn't he? But was that like a, you know, a writing on the wall, an email that turned up or a phone call in the middle of the night? No, it wasn't. It was just that sense of leading and guiding. Don't go. So just cancel that out. And there is a conflict between the natural man and the with all of his wisdom and his powers of reasoning and the man of the spirit. There is a conflict there. You know, and this man of the spirit communes with God and benefits from the mind of Christ. And we're called to that. Knowing things from the divine perspective is to our always clear advantage. As for the Christian life, and for us to walk out his will so that we can at least align ourselves for what he has for us. And it's an exciting lifestyle. Amen? You know, we're going to walk around as being, you know, so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good. It's not that. So it's just knowing and knowing in your heart, knowing by your spirit. And we'll look at, there's other verses of scripture that talk about this lifestyle that we can gain from and glean from and say, it's not just about being a Christian and having a Bible. All right. I know I'm speaking to someone. It's a walk with God. It's a walk with the God of all creation, and we're all called to it. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.